53. Lydia. Being back among the Maren was both a balm to her soul and a knife to the heart. For as they journeyed, the captain told both her and Irina what they knew of the fate of the Maren imprisoned in the Empire, as well as the status of the Empire's incursion into Arinoquia. And for her part, Lydia told them her own story. Lena and Gwen listening with wide eyes as she explained her flight through the Zenthyr stem, her meeting Killian, and the deal they'd made. Of Tariana, the Maren knew little, only that she was alive and kept under close guard at all times. But not entirely helpless.
She managed to secrete a letter out of their camp by way of a healer,
the captain said.
Took some time, but it eventually reached the right hands in Ravat.
She gave a rueful shrug.
Kyra rounded up every crew in port at the time and threatened to fill our ships with pig shit if we didn't break Midoriya's mandate and tell her all that we knew.
Darina burst into laughter.
Kyra is a delight.
She's a force not to be denied, the captain agreed. Her intent was to turn her eyes to defeating the invaders, but I fear those plans suffered catastrophic disruption with the loss of the fleet in Mudare's harbor.
That is no coincidence,
Darina muttered, rubbing her chin.
Lydia, if the legions were to discover and control Zenthyr paths they could use, how many soldiers could they send to Arinoquia?
Lydia bit her lip, considering. They won't be rash, she finally said. They are methodical and strategic in their conquest, and the Senate won't risk losing control of the provinces for the sake of gaining new territory.
A number, Lydia.
She cursed herself for not having paid more attention to her father's discussions with his peers. 10 legions, somewhere between 40,000 and 50,000 trained soldiers. Darina's eyes went distant. Then she shook her head.
Kyra could hold back that many. They only have a handful of ships, which means they would need to go by land, and the terrain is bad.
Pointing on the map in front of them, she said,
This is all mangrove swamps, so they can't march up the coast. They'd have to cross between the swamps and the uncharted lands. And then they'd need to get across the Orinoch,
the captain said, naming the massive river that formed Gamdesh's southern border.
It isn't bridged, which means they'd have to ferry all their soldiers and supplies across. Seems to me their commander picked a poor location to set down roots.
Unlikely, Lydia thought, shivering at the reference to the man who'd tried to murder her. He'll probably build a bridge. Darina made a noncommittal noise, her brow furrowed, and Lydia quickly said, Don't discount the young man in command of the legions. He's tremendously clever, known to win as often with guile as with force. He's as great a threat as Rufina, of that you can be sure, and... She swallowed.
And?
Darina pressed. 10 legions is only the beginning of what they could rally, if they thought the prize worth the risks, Lydia said. They could send another 100,000 men. Darina's eyes flicked to the captain.
Is this so?
The woman nodded, her black braids swaying around her face.
Why do you suppose we went to such lengths to keep the West secret from them?
But a secret no longer,
Darina said.
And unless we unite to fight back, the heart of the West will soon be pinned between an army of the godless.
Her eyes flicked to Lydia.
And an army of the undead.
Using a Zenthyr path located at sea, the Maren ship had delivered Lydia to a small port town on the southern coast of Mudamora only days after leaving Mudare.
I'll carry on to Serlania to rally the High Lords,
Darina had said.
You ride fast to Rotan and track down Killian. It's a well-traveled road, so you'll be safe enough. If your theory about tenders and the Blight is correct, we need Malahai, and he's best equipped to get her back.
Now Lydia stood outside the fortress city of Rotan as black storm clouds raced west toward the distant mountains, the smell of coming rain heavy in the air. Stone walls encircled the fortress city, with soldiers in red uniforms patrolling the parapets, their eyes watchful. A steady stream of traffic flowed through the central gate, the soldiers inspecting both people and their carts. Is he here? Lydia's heart skipped, then her pulse sped at the thought Killian might be on the other side of those walls, and she wasn't certain whether she was excited or terrified. Possibly both. You're here to tell him about Malahai, she silently reminded herself. You're here because you need him to help you rescue her. But the reminder couldn't erase the countless hours of daydreams she'd had, where their reunion had an entirely different focus. Daydreams where she'd felt his lips on hers, desire curling hot in her belly as she imagined his hands on her body, what it would be like to have him peel the clothes from her skin. What it would be like to have him. He's not yours, she snarled under her breath, and falling into a bed with Killian isn't why you're here. Digging her heels into her horse's sides, she cantered toward the line of traffic, falling in with the people who'd come to market. As she reached the guards at the gate, she pulled back the white hood of her robes, watching as they inclined their heads.
Marked one,
the taller man said.
You need not have waited with the common folk.
It was no trouble, she answered, feeling distinctly uncomfortable with the way everyone was eyeing her with reverence. I need to speak with Lord Calorian. Can you direct me to him? The man's face shadowed, and unease filled Lydia's chest. His reaction reminded her of how people had reacted to Killian before he'd won at Alder's Ford, back when they blamed him for the invasion.
General Calorian is in his camp north of here,
he answered.
But you'll need an escort to make the journey.
I'll manage on my own, thank you. He shook his head.
The conflict with the Anuk is worse than it has been in a generation,
he said.
They've been attacking Mutamorians near the border, and while they wouldn't hurt a healer, they'd take you. You need an escort, which I'm certain Lady Rhea would be glad to arrange.
Lady Rhea was King Sarek's niece and Malahai's cousin, and Lydia had little interest in speaking to her. But if what this man said were true, perhaps it was the prudent path. Very well. The soldier assigned an escort to take her to the palace, which was a monstrous building that would have fit in well in Celendriel. A liveried stable boy hurried out to take her horse, as another servant came swiftly down the steps, crimson towel across her arms, a golden basin held in one hand.
Marked one,
the woman said as the first drops of rain fell from the sky, splatting against the ground, swiftly turning to a downpour as they moved inside.
My name is...
Lydia hesitated because the last thing she needed was word of her presence making it back to Rufina.
Gwen, I seek Lady Rhea, as I need an escort to General Calorian's camp.
I will take you to her ladyship directly, Marked One, the servant answered, leading her through the hallways which were rich with the smell of scented oils. Her boots thudded on the tiles, which were a gold-veined marble, the endless alcoves filled with artwork in golden frames. The woman took her to a courtyard garden filled with fountains and flowers, though the sound of them was drowned out by the roar of falling rain. And standing out in the middle of it, her hair plastered to her face and her gown soaked, was a woman.
My lady?
The servant asked hesitantly, this behavior clearly unexpected.
One of the marked is here to see you, Healer Gwen.
The woman lowered her face from the storm, a smile moving to her lips.
Welcome, Marked One. What a glorious moment for you to have arrived. Gesbern has blessed us with early winter rains, which mark the end of the season of war with the Anuk. Tonight, we will celebrate.
Rain or not, celebrations weren't in order, because the Anuk were the least of Mutamora's concerns. But Lydia inclined her head.
Thank you for your hospitality, my lady. But in truth, I seek only an escort to General Calorian's camp.
He is in no need of healers,
the woman answered, stepping under the cover of the building and accepting a towel from a servant.
The rains make passage through the mountains nearly impossible for the next 2 months, so his camp will be idle. You could do more good helping those in need within the city, as we've long been deprived of a healer's touch.
She didn't have time for this. But before Lydia could open her mouth to politely insist on an escort, the bellow of a horn split the air, making her jump. What was that? Rhea blanched.
Impossible. They wouldn't dare.
A heartbeat later, a soldier strode rapidly down the corridor toward them.
My lady,
he said, inclining his head.
Marked one. Excuse the interruption, but we've received word that a significant force of Anuk is on the march toward the mines.
That's impossible.
They're coming, my lady. Visibility is bad due to the rains, but estimates put their force between 2,000 and 3,000.
Rhea's eyes widened.
The six help us.
General Calorian has moved to intercept, but he's requested reinforcements. I've men gathering, ready to ride at your order.
Do it. Then have the gates closed and our walls manned in case Rotan is attacked.
Rhea turned on Lydia.
If you are agreeable, I'd have you go with our forces with all haste. Our losses are destined to be catastrophic.
Lydia's blood chilled. Why do you say that?
Because,
Rhea answered,
until reinforcements arrive, General Calorian is outnumbered 3-1.